For the scripture, before Debbie comes and shares from her words and her heart, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7 and 13, and this is from the Message, which I would the Message is not in a translation. But the Message is what we all do, even if we could read Hebrew and Greek. We interpret, because the same words to different people don't always mean the same thing. But the words are what they are, and that will also be kind of the beauty of what we hear this morning, as Debbie shares with us, the power of words to evoke. God used them to create, to make, to bring into being. And that will be our opportunity today, to let the Spirit bring into being within us what the words evoke. But for Mr. Peterson, this is what 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7, and then verse 13 evoked. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. They all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit. By means of Christ's one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek or slave or free, and I would add even male or female, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive.
Well, back in late January, I approached the members of the worship ministry team with an idea. To read a handful of my own poems as a reflection on the encounter with the other and what it might mean to love our neighbor. They took me up on it, which brings us to this morning. I first really began writing poems about encountering the other with a capital O as this 2016 presidential election approached, and then in its aftermath. Amid the hateful rhetoric that seemed to fill the news, I knew there had to be a better way for us as a nation to relate to people who were different from us. And I figured that that had to start in individual hearts, including my own. And so, out of just the gut-level grief and anger that I was feeling and continue to feel, I began to shape poems, exploring various metaphors and images for relationships that pointed to a different way. I'll be sharing 8 of those with you this morning. I invite you to hear these on one level as me talking to myself. pointing myself toward a better way at times when it would be easier just to retreat, to stay in the familiar, to surround myself with people like me, or people who look like me, you know, who think like me. I certainly don't have this down. Poetry is just a way that helps me imagine or envision something different, a way of seeing myself in others and a way of seeing God in others. And this morning, perhaps that's a start toward love. So I'll follow each poem with a bit of silence before I move on to the next one. I know this is a very different sort of language than we often hear at this point in the week. So I want to give us all space. Thank you for listening and for being here. What lies between us? Sometimes it's innocent enough, that wall. Just what keeps my house my own. What keeps the weather out. But I can hide behind it too, when I'm afraid of the demand for change that encounter often brings. Sometimes a sidewalk, a street, an overpass becomes a wall, a fortification, a defense, a sign that reminds me who's us and who's them without the messiness of meeting. I'd rather have a table, not a wall, be what lies between us. It would tell the truth. There's always something between us. But what if it invited reaching across, involved meeting eyes, sharing food, hearing new voices, even, could it be, laughter or song? Then you could tell me who you are. To be a good neighbor. Notice the property line, the fence, whatever it is that marks their space as distinct from yours. Reflect on its history. Listen to the story it tells you. Be mindful of that. Then notice the opening, the chink in the wall, the gate in the fence, the door that could open. Look at it a long time, until you see it. Then try it, jiggle it, tap on it, knock. But don't go empty-handed. Take a gift, a loaf of bread, flour, a book you read. Something to keep your own hands open. Something to keep the door open once someone peers out the crack. When someone answers, hold out the gift and let your eyes meet. Hold the gaze, give the gift, then speak. You will know what to say. Ask for wisdom if you wish, but you'll know. Then listen to the words that return to you. No matter whom you see, see a friend. See your common humanity. See the needs you share, the gifts. Speak words of welcome to the neighborhood, to the family, your heart. Then cup your hands, for they, like your heart, will not remain empty long. What if? What if I walked among all my fellow humans as I walk in the woods in early spring? Every step in joyful anticipation of the beauty to burst forth right before my eyes. What then? The oneness of woods. If oak said to maple, because you are not oak, you're not truly part of the forest. If ash said to cherry, because you're not ash, you're not a true tree. What then? If all trees turned fiery red in autumn, or kept green needles in winter, bloomed white in spring, or were laden with the same summer fruit, what then? Would my eyes be resigned to the sameness, as of unending snow stretching across wide winter plains? What loss my heart would grieve, my beauty and variety seeking heart, if all alike should win the day. So let me then rejoice in what we have, though cuts and colors of leaves and shades and shapes of bark may differ. At our roots, we members of these woods are kin. What now? Playing the game. Let's sit across the table from each other, you and I, so different from each other on the face of things. Let's sit across the table, you and I, take one card from our hand and lay it down, face up. One card from our experience, one piece of this puzzle that is I. First your turn, then mine, then yours again, until all our cards are played. And if we've played this game well, perhaps the table will have become a bridge, a winsomely winding path paved in the loveliest shade of gray. Maryland's Grill. At a downtown corner, a window sign proclaims fried chicken, macaroni and cheese. But what I came for isn't advertised, a slice of pound cake, fried. When I ask the cashier, her face lights up. The woman at the grill, overhearing, turns, sizes me up in one glance. This your first time, honey? I'm gonna make you a big slice. She leads with a wide grin, and I follow suit. It's the late end of lunch with no line, so I wait there to watch her work. The owner comes out, hearing somebody new has ordered his special. His tone is confidential as he leans, elbows on the counter. You know, there's a disclaimer comes with this cake. I laugh. If you get addicted now, we don't take no responsibility. Now both our faces are alight, alive with the moment, and the only color that matters is that cake's gold. Host and guest, one gives a gift, one receives, and neither of us can say which is which. One brief note of explanation about the next one. Listening for Grace is a Ted and Company show about what happens when a family and a faith community engage in questions around same-sex relationships. Chris and I were able to see it last winter, and I wrote this poem in response. So this is after Listening for Grace. The light of the full moon shimmers in the pond, whose surface ripples constantly change the shape of the reflection. Sometimes a wide path, sometimes a tight circle, sometimes more of a cloud or two of bright, shifting light. Tonight's play leaves me longing for more chances to listen to others' stories, struggles, journeys, hoping to see more clearly all the myriad ways our lives reflect your light as the breath of your spirit blows across each heart. The last one is called What You Were Given. When the powerful seem enamored of the precipice, when the night to end all endings feels closer than today, when fear finds one more way to twist your heart, then use what you were given. Slow down enough to notice how it feels to breathe. Look out or in your window as if you've never seen from there before. Break bread with someone you cannot yet call friend. Give shelter to a stranger in your smile. And when then you have done this, then wait knowing that in the dark night, in the dark earth, a seed now waits for water, waits for warmth, for light. And in the waiting, use again what you were given.